Okay, I think we'll go ahead and we're going to get started. We're going to go, the presentation's going to be around an hour and 15, 20 minutes, and then we're going to open it up for Q&A. So as we're going through the slides, if there's anything that comes to your mind where you think, oh, this is a question I have, just send it through the chat box and we'll try to get it to as many as we possibly can. The other note is if you were at the presentation last Sunday, this is all going to be new material. So this is going to be part one. There's enough interest, we'll do a part two, but part one, we're going to get through as many principles we can of Joseph Smith education.
Okay, here for a second, I just want to discuss one of the principles that usually comes up quick when we start talking about education is that there's a lot of confusion and a lot of sometimes even animosity between different kinds of education. And so I want to just start out with this slide. You can see here there's different kingdoms and there's different, one of the things that's important to understand in the gospel that there's different higher and lower kingdoms and there's higher and lower laws for those kingdoms. And so tonight, I think most of the people here that are online are searching for a better education. And there's telestial education, which probably most of us are fairly familiar with maybe. There's terrestrial education and there's celestial education. Tonight we'd like to approach as best as we know how to try to be more in the terrestrial or celestial category if possible. So starting out, this is a picture of Adam and Eve. And the reason we start out with this really quick is because in the days of Adam and Eve, the church was somewhat different than it is today. And Joseph Smith talked a lot about this, but he talked about how Adam had this patriarchal system for the church. The church itself was based on the family unit. And so therefore education, of course, was based on the family unit. And so as we're talking about education, if we're going to talk about celestial education, which this is a higher level of education, obviously some of us desire to have this higher level and we desire to have our family be more involved in education and have a bigger role. And that's the kind of thing we're going to be discussing tonight.
Okay. And so as we're going through that, I think that's really important because a lot of times when parents have come to either my parents or I've heard other, they raise this question of, they say, okay, well, you're saying that the prophet Joseph Smith or the scriptures teach this. Why don't I see that live today? Why are we not living that standard today? So recognizing that there's different levels and being okay with everyone having their agency to choose what level do you want to live? So if there's principles that we talk about tonight or principles you discover in the scriptures in any subject and you discover, wait, this is a higher standard. Do I really need to live this higher standard? It's up to you to choose which kingdom do you want to try to adhere to. That's just a really important key, I think, to remember and help everyone realize that they get to choose which level do they really feel comfortable living. So these are a few of the principles of a Joseph Smith education. And we call it the Joseph Smith education because there's a lot of different educational methods out there. And we're trying to go back to Joseph Smith because what we're going to talk about a little bit later today is why we would go back to Joseph Smith as the messenger, as the revealer of Christ in our dispensation, but is really key, the principles he taught and really the principles we find in the scriptures, because if you think about it, almost all of the scripture we have comes through Joseph Smith, even large portions of the Bible. And so here's just a couple of principles. We're going to get through as many as we can tonight. We won't get through all of them, but we're just going to move through these. Probably only a couple. So the first principle is to focus out, not in. And the kind of motto going along with that being feed my sheep. So what does this mean? Well, in the world today, and I think we can all probably relate to this a little bit or have seen this, the big question is not exactly what can I do for God? It's what can we do for fun, right? Is this fun to do or is this not so fun today? How can we make this fun, right? How can we make maybe our chores fun? How can we turn schoolwork into something that's fun? And it's really all about us, right? And we're talking about maybe higher levels. So maybe not the government school education, but even a lot of feeling in the homeschool world, they'll go to children and say, okay, what do you want to study, right? Okay, Sam here is interested in airplanes. He wants to study airplanes, so we're going to spend hours and hours at the library. We're going to pour tons of money so he can just study airplanes to his heart's content. Susie wants to study cooking, so we're going to pour money into going to cooking classes and everything because that's her passion, and we want to instill this love to learn. But if you think about that, you think, is that really a scriptural concept? Because really, at the end of the day, it's all about us. It's all about what we want to do, what we feel like doing. And when you look in the scriptures and you look at the writings of the prophets, they have a completely different vision. So this is a quote from Mark Dever. And I think about this statement in terms of every area of your life, whether it's maybe church, whether it's entertainment, whether it's school. Specifically, we're going to be talking about this in terms of education. But he said, what you win, speaking specifically of youth, what you win them with is likely what you'll win them to. If you win them with the gospel, you'll win them to the gospel. But if you win them with technique, programs, entertainment, personal charisma, you might end up winning them to yourself and your methods, and you might not, but it's likely that they won't be won to the gospel first and foremost. If you think about that, think about a lot of times when we think, okay, well, we have this child here, right? We've got to help them to be converted to the gospel. So how are we going to do that? Well, let's think of flashy, entertaining ways. What kind of programs, what kind of techniques, what kind of tricks can we use to convert them to the gospel? When really, if we want to convert them to the gospel, we need to convert them with the gospel. If we want to convert them to check charts, then let's use check charts. If we want to convert them to cartoons, then we'll use cartoons. If we want to convert them to the world's music, we'll use the world's music. But we can't use the world's music to convert them to the gospel. What you win them with is what you're going to win them to.
So I mentioned this all the time growing up with these guys and when we were trying to work our own way through education. But I think it's so important. Trying to compete with the world, you're always going to lose, because the world is more fun. It's more sensuous. It's more cool, hip, tasty. It's more in. It's always going to be more. It can tantalize the body more than you can ever do in a righteous manner. In fact, everything we know about how Satan tempts us, how he works with us, is through the body. And so it's interesting that we almost without even thinking about it, some of these concepts that came from men like Sigmund Freud, men that their mission in life was to destroy Christianity. And then we take these things and we bring them into our homeschool or into our private school or in just in if we're trying to teach our children at home on the side of a public school. But if we try to compete, if you try to compete with what the world can do, there's no way that will ever work. And Hannah can maybe talk for a second about just how it's different to not try to use that method.
Well, it's so important, because when you have a youth, a lot of times I've heard different speakers and they say, well, you got to speak the youth language, right? If you approach them with the gospel and doctrine and prophets, and they're just going to turn away. We got to speak their language. We got to speak the hip language. We got to speak their music. We need to get down. Instead of trying to raise them higher, let's go down to their level and let's appeal to them that way. But what they're not realizing is for appealing to the natural man is not going to convert them to becoming pure and holy. You can't do that. It doesn't, when you think about it simply like that, you think, that doesn't even really make sense. But when you, and if you see this in the scriptures, you always see, how does the Lord work? And that's one of the points that we like to talk about when we talk about education, is why go to the scriptures as the standard for education? Are the scriptures really a tool for education? Well, yes, they are, because the Lord is a master teacher. That's one of his titles, right? He's a teacher. He's a parent. He's the perfect parent. He's the perfect teacher. So we should go to him to learn how to teach, how to parent. And he doesn't make deals or compromise with the adversary or the adversary's methods to teach his children.
Yeah, I was just going to mention quickly, you know, years ago I was teaching, actually I was an assistant scoutmaster, and so I was working with, I think it was probably Weebelo's age, but we were there one night, and this group of youth was just out of control. You know, I mean, they were really wild. I didn't really have much of a, I hadn't really been over them. It was the, you know, I was just the assistant. But then finally one night, the other scout leader wasn't there, and it was just me. And so what I did is I started talking to him about the principles of Americanism. I started talking to him about the miracles that happened with George Washington and different things. And I kid you not, for about 40 minutes, these unruly, wild, you know, Weeblos, they sat down, and you could have heard a pin drop, and they were spellbound, and they sat there and listened. That's the difference. You know, most people will say this won't work. It will work. It works. But if you try to compete with the world, and if you go put your children on things that are out there in the world, there's no way it will work.
So this is a statement from Joseph Smith, and this is part one of that statement. He's talking about how to produce faith, but this is a principle to apply to your education. And again, this is going to fly in the face of everything the world teaches about. It needs to be about us, about me time, about fulfilling what we want, our natural man desires. So Joseph Smith said, for a man to lay down his all, lay down his character, reputation, his honor, applause, his good name among men, his houses, his lands, his brothers and sisters, his wife and children. Now, recognize what he's listing here. He's not listing horrific sins, right? He's listing good things in his life. This is his home. This is his property. This is his family. But he's saying a man has to lay that down, even his own life also, counting all things but filth and dross, for an excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what it requires. If you want to know Jesus Christ, you have to lay down everything. And then Joseph Smith goes on and he says, this requires more than mere belief or a supposition, right? I think I'm doing the will of God, but actual knowledge. He has to know what I am doing, what I am sacrificing is what Christ has asked of me. Realizing that when those sufferings are ended, he will enter into eternal rest and be a partaker of the glory of God.
Let me just mention for a second. So why we bring this in is before you enter on any educational endeavor, sometimes it's going to be a great deal of work, effort. There's going to be some heartbreak along the way, some discouragement. You need to absolutely know that the path you're moving on is where God wants you to be. That's what I believe the prophet Joseph Smith is saying.
We're gonna send out the slides, and then you can read the entire rest of the quote. But he talks about how that is required to produce faith. And so as we talk about, again, this flies in the face, the world would tell you, if you want to keep your children, if you want to have a good relationship with them, it needs to be based in fun, right? You need to go on vacations. You need to just make it really exciting, lots of fun food and treats, right? But Joseph Smith and the scriptures are teaching the opposite. They're saying, if you want that faith, if you want to raise up a family to the Lord, you have to sacrifice everything. And when your children see that, it's a powerful example. And then when they start to live that, that is what produces change. And that's what produces, gives true motivation. Okay, so Joseph Smith also made a statement where he said, a family filled with the love of God is not content with blessing his family alone, but ranges through the whole world, anxious to bless the whole human race. So as you're thinking about this, you can think, okay, are my family giving these fruits? Do we feel like we want to sacrifice everything because we got to go out and we got to bless the whole world, not just my neighborhood, not just my friends, not just my local community, but I got to go out and try to bless the entire human race, the whole world. They're a person with the real love of God. If they really love God, do you really love God? If you do, you will have this drive and this feeling and side. So again, these are just key principles to begin thinking, okay, what does this have to do with education? Well, it has everything to do about education because this is education.
Yeah, as we talk to groups, the big question is always, how do you motivate? How do you motivate your youth? You know, how do you get kids to get up and work hard, to care? You know, right now in the church, the major problem, ask anybody, it's apathy with the youth, and they just don't care. It's because we're trying to motivate them with fun, and instead of giving them a cause, it's the exact opposite of what we all think. It's about sacrifice. It's about helping them to understand what sacrifice is about. And if they can get a taste of that joy, there's no feeling. You can lay down your life for that joy of the Lord. But the youth need to feel that. And they need to feel it before they get in their 20s. They need to feel it when they're 8 and 10 and 12. They need to feel the presence of the Lord so they know where they're trying to go. Okay, so brings us right into mission-centered, right? So another principle that we want to talk about tonight is this idea that you need to have a cause. You need to have a cause. Your family needs to have a cause, and the individuals need to have a cause. And those causes, hopefully, are going to be very similar.
Okay, so a lot of education today, we're not specifically so much talking about, you know, government education, but even moving on to the next level, a lot of more home education methods, they focus a lot on going back to the Greeks and the Romans, right? The classical education. Well, the problem with the Greek methodology and the Greek method of education is that it was all focused, it was not practical. It was all focused on just studying and learning and sharing. In the New Testament, the talks about how they would just get together just to talk about everything they learned, right? They just wanted to study and they felt so smart and so academic. And sometimes I think it's easy to fall into this trap, even among ourselves, because we think, well, we're reading good things. We're reading about the prophets. We're reading scriptures. But what are we doing with that knowledge? If we're just learning it because we enjoy doing that, or because we want to talk about it, or because it's just fun to be smart and be able to quote so-and-so source, then that is not at all what the Lord is asking for. What the Lord is asking for is application. What the Lord is asking for is action. Everything in the Greek, and it's hard sometimes for us to wrap our brains around this, because everything in our 21st Western culture is really based in the Greek idea, but everything in the Greek thought, it's very much based in philosophy. While the Hebrew method, the method of the scriptures, is based in action. Everything is an action. Faith is not an emotion or just the thought, it is action. So that's just really important. And how that applies to education is, a lot of times we talk about how we want to instill on our children a love of learning, right? We just want to love learning, right? It's like Sam and Susie there, they just want to study airplanes and they want to study cooking. So that's just so awesome. We want them to love that, right? But when we look in the scriptures, we see that God does not call us to love learning. What does he call us? He commands us, we're supposed to love God and we're supposed to love our fellow men. And that is a completely different love. Instead of loving ourselves and loving our own learning and loving what we want to study, what we want to do, again, it might not be evil or pernicious. So we're talking about moving on to that next level, maybe that higher kingdom. But instead of loving to learn, let's love God and let him drive what we're doing with our education. In other words, just use a personal example. Some of our education that we've done in our home, we did focus around websites. Well, personally, I just don't really enjoy doing that very much. So I wanted to do different things when I was 12 and 13 and 14. And my dad said, you need to be studying this. We need to be studying this area of education and this area of skills. And I was like, you know, that's just not me, right? That just is not what I want to do. And my dad said, well, it doesn't really matter what you want to do. It's not about you. It's about what does the Lord want you to do. So he would tell us, he would say, go in your room, pray about this and ask, is this direction the right direction? And you know what would happen when we would pray about that? We discover, yes, this is what the Lord wants to do. And that's the perspective our children have to think. Instead of getting up in the morning and thinking, what do I want to study? What do I want to be when I grow up? Well, guess what? If this life is not about what we want to do, the question should be, what is the Lord calling me to study? What is the Lord calling me to do? And what does the Lord want me to become?
It's very important. You know, the Lord, he wasn't kidding when he said we needed to lay down our life. And he said that whosoever saveth his life or focuses on their own life and their own happiness and their own learning and what they want to do, those folks, unfortunately, they will lose their life, right? They will lose eternal life, or the life that has to do with these higher kingdoms that we're talking about. It's just, it's so important. Learning is not the end. God is the end. Becoming more like him, having joy, understanding, and bringing the gospel principles into this.
And that doesn't mean that, I don't want to give the impression that it needs to be miserable, right? Guess what? You want to study music? Well, the Lord's going to take that away and he's going to make you study physics, right?
God is this completely ogre man, right? He wants to tear you down. No, he's going to use your gifts. You know, several years ago, I received a package of money from my employment. That's a long story. So we had some money. So I was praying, what should I do? And the Lord inspired, it was really clear, you need to do video production. And at the time, we didn't even have a focus camera. It was just the point and click kind, you know, that you don't even focus. I had no idea anything to do with photography or videography or audio or anything. But I felt this inspiration to move that way. And as I started to move in it, I found out that is probably, of everything I've ever done in my life, that was the thing that's come the easiest. And that's the thing that I'm actually the best at. I wish I could get back to doing more of that right now. But I never would have known that if I wouldn't have been willing to say, I never even thought of this, but I'm willing to follow where the Lord wants to lead with this. That's important.
And it is possible, I know for myself, that the Lord will change what you like to do. He'll change your desires. He'll give you that change of heart if you're willing to make that step of faith and say, Lord, this is what you want me to do, right? What Joseph Smith talked about, lay down the homes, the lands, the family, everything you want, and be willing to have that actual knowledge that what you're doing is what God wants you to do. And the Lord will make everything work out. This life is not about misery. This life is about true happiness. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to talk about how to do this in your family, right? So you're like, okay, let's do this. Let's, instead of focusing on what we want to do, let's do something that will change the world. Let's do something that will help people. How do we do this? What are some of the principles involved?
Every time we give a presentation on education, everybody says, tell me what to do. And I'm like, we're not about checklists. You're not about steps. We're not about telling you exactly what to do, you know? And then here we are this afternoon. I thought, well, we better make a checklist, unfortunately. So we just had, so these guys put together this checklist of some ideas. Now, the education that we've come up with in our family that's based on what Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, and the brethren have taught and the scriptures teach, it's focused not about just learning for no reason. It's about projects that actually go help the world, that make a difference, that change the direction of things. And so Hannah's going to talk about some of the principles, first of all, that they came up this afternoon when they were talking this through, principles that needs to gear around those projects, and a little bit about why we do projects.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first principle is it needs to help the people involved grow to become more like God. So not just the people involved, but also the ones you're trying to help. In other words, the project should not be focused on what do we want to do, right? Okay, you can use this example. I'll use the example of visiting teaching or home teaching because it might help bring it a little better. If you're going to visit teach or home teach someone, you can think, okay, I need to help this person. What do I want to do? Maybe I want to bake some brownies for them. Maybe I want to take them to Thanksgiving Point, see the gardens. If you live in Utah County, you know what I'm talking about. Or is your focus, okay, how can I help them become closer to God? When I was in a young women's presidency, when I believe I was in Beehives or Miami's, and I remember my dad, I was saying, what kind of projects can we do that would be good projects? And my dad said, well, every project, stop, kind of wipe your list clean. First, I want you to think about how can you help them come closer to God? And then the projects should be with that focus. And it's not just those that are participating in the project, but those who are being served by the project. They need to be coming closer to God, becoming more like God, being changed. The second principle is it should involve all the members of the family if possible. And sometimes you have to get a little creative to do this, especially if you have a lot of little ones. But usually there's some way to involve everyone. And if everyone feels involved, it helps everyone feel like, okay, this is a team effort. This is not about so-and-so, but this is about our family. Our family is united and working together. And it should develop the talents, the abilities of all of those involved. It should also effectively use your time and talents in the most efficient manner. In other words, we should be thinking, okay, how can we make the biggest impact the quickest in the most powerful way? Because just as a newsflash, time is running out. I know we've been in the last days for a while, but things are really speeding up, really speeding up. It's really, really getting serious. We don't have very much time. And if we want to be able to make the impact and make the change that we promised we would before we came to this life, we made promises. If we want to be able to fulfill those, we need to be constantly meditating, constantly pondering, how can we do this, whatever mission you're feeling called to and your family's being called to, whatever ministry you need to be thinking, okay, how can we do this in the most efficient manner all the time? And I've just started doing this actually in the last month or two myself, because my dad said, everyone needs to be spending an hour a day meditating. I was like, wow, I don't spend close to that much amount of time meditating. That needs to change. Do that. I'll just add a personal testimony. Do that. You need to spend a lot of time thinking, constantly being thinking, are we on the right road? How can we do this faster? How can we reach more people? Because often that's just as important or more important than the mission itself. Because if you're doing it, if you're doing it in a slow way or in a way the Lord doesn't want done, then, you know, it's kind of like the temple. The Lord wants the temple built, but he also wants it done in the time and the way that he wants it built. Do you have anything
there? Oh, I would just say, you know, like she's saying, through the years, well, probably my biggest weakness is I have absolutely no patience, you know? So what did the Lord do about that? Well, through the last several years, I've had some pretty serious health challenges and some things that have really slowed me down, right? Well, that's a good way to work on patience, right? Because you're wanting to do more and more and more, and then you're doing less and less and less. But seriously, it's been amazing to me. Even though I've had less and less time, I've been able to get more and more done. Because the Lord, he can do what needs to be done to make you more efficient. You might be thinking, how can I do one more thing? You can do six more things. You just need to have that inspiration to know how it can be done.
Right. I think that's so important. And the Lord will give you ideas. He'll maneuver things if you're willing to take that time to say, okay, are we doing things in the most efficient way? Are we using our time wisely? We might be using our time for only good things. You might be thinking, I've cut everything bad out, so job done, right? No, it's just barely started. It's how you do things as well. The divine roles of the family members should be upheld and supported. Study what is the role of the father? That father needs to be fulfilling that role. What is the role of the mother? What is the role of daughters versus sons? Different ages. Really studying what are those divine roles and not running over or ignoring those roles when you're working in projects. The Lord gave those roles for a specific reason, and they should be utilized in every project. The next principle is motivate family members by and with scriptural principles. In other words, if you're going to try to use, again, we talked about this, fun, food, but even if you're, it's kind of the asking your children a question, why are you doing this? Right? And this is a question that I had occurred to me a lot of times growing up as we were working on things. Why am I doing this? It's a good thing. I know it's what I'm supposed to do, but why am I, deep down inside, am I doing this for myself? Am I doing this because it's fun? Maybe because I enjoy it? Maybe because I'm really keen on what the reward will be? Or am I doing it for the Lord? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And that's really key, because otherwise, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, when those reasons are gone, or if the Lord takes them away, you'll crumble with it. So that's really key.
I just want to chip in for a second. You know, we were talking about the divine roles and then motivating family members. And I've watched the homeschool and the private school movement for a lot of years. You know, we homeschooled. I've been a private educator. I've been a public educator. I've been a technical trainer. I've been a lot of things dealing with education, and I've watched, unfortunately, I believe the homeschool movement by and large is failing. And you wonder, why is it failing so much? Well, how many fathers are really involved? Really, there's hardly any, right? The father, you know, in our home, you know, mothers are perfect for teaching their children up until about the age of 8. And right around the age of 8, it becomes a little harder. And especially if the father's not there to help make sure discipline stays intact, to make sure that there's some structure, to make sure when the kids come in and start saying, hey, I just don't want to do this. And the father needs to say, well, listen, we're going to talk about that because we are going to do this, you know. And that's a very important thing. The father needs to be there, especially from age 8 or 10, 12, by 12, 13, the father really should be the one that's watching over the school and should be really in charge of the school, you know. And Hannah, do you want to talk for just a second about that? And we're not going to talk so much about family tonight because we're not going to be able to get to that principle tonight, but just to give you a little feeler, and we'll talk about it another time.
It's absolutely very crucial. Brigham Young talked about how he said that was the mother's responsibility. And really, the focus of education until a child is the age 8, 9, even 10, 11, 12, changes depending on the personality. Some children develop later than others. But the focus during that age should be on character, obedience, consecration, honesty, hard work, self-discipline. That needs to be the focus. Once they hit 10, 11, 12, the role of the father in scripture is to cast the vision for the family. It's not necessarily to get in there and do everything for everyone, right? It's not his job to go and clean the teenager's bedroom or, right? That's not his job. His job is to cast the vision. Say, look, this is what the Lord wants us to do. You see that in the scriptures in the Book of Mormon. You got Lehi, and he has this vision from the Lord, and he says, Nephi, Sam, Laman, Lemuel, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the vision for our family. And then the children, if they've developed that character at that younger age, and by the time they're 10, 11, 12, and their mind's beginning to develop, it's beginning to become more mature, it's ready to start on a mission, it's ready to start on these projects, then if the father is there to cast that vision, then he says, okay, Mary, this is the gifts you have. Let's go and let's put that in action. Let's go out there and begin serving. Let's do this. And that's a really key principle. Now, just one word, because I talk to a lot of moms who come to me, and honestly, this was one of my, because I started watching this. In fact, that was our conversation. I asked my dad, I said, why are so many homeschooling families failing? Statistically, they're not failing, but I want to ask you a question. If you don't think that the homeschooling movement is in some way failing, I want you to think, how many homeschool families are out there changing the world? And I mean, are how many out there are out there really converting people, are really out there fighting in the fight for religious freedom, are fighting against feminism, against evolution? How many families do you know when you think, okay, who do I know who's standing for true science? Oh, there's that family, right? All the kids working together. You don't see that. There's an occasional family here and there, and we know some, but it's not the standard. It should be. It should be if our home education was working. So why is it not working? That's what, and we talked and we realized the father is not there. Now, if you're a mother and your husband is not really on board, or the, or if you're a son or a daughter and you're thinking, you know, just my dad's not really cast that vision, it's all right. These are principles. These are principles. Tonight we're not talking, we're trying to stay away from application, because application is your responsibility. We're trying to talk about principles the Lord has given. And if you cannot live those principles at this moment, the Lord will teach you how you can and bring you to the point where you can. And if you're a mother, think of all, if you have sons, that is the vision that you need to be teaching and raising them to, so that the next generation will be ready to live a higher education standard a little bit better, and their children will be able to live it a little bit better, piece by piece.
Yeah, and that's perfect, because you might not grow up in the perfect situation. I mean, take Abraham, right? His father is trying to kill him, you know, on multiple occasions. And that's a pretty difficult situation. And then he turns out better than any of us have, right? And so the Lord, whatever your situation is, he will make up the difference. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't feel like it can't happen. It can happen. The Lord will help you, and you can do whatever you need to do. You're not going to fail in your mission, even if you've been dealt some heavy blows. You will be able to work through those things.
And then the last, we'll go really fast. Contributors should be anxiously engaged. That means feel this urgency. If you don't feel this urgency, pray and ask the Lord to reveal to you the urgency that's going on, because there is an urgency. We're running out of time. We're running out of however long we have left to make the impact we can. We need to be moving fast. We need to be moving efficient, and we need to be making the most powerful impact we possibly can. If that's just one thing, even you take away tonight, it's realizing we need to be take this serious, and we need to go out there, and we need to make a difference fast.
And if the parents are anxiously engaged, and then they involve the children, I know parents who are anxiously engaged, but you also have to bring your children along with you. You can't just let, oh, well, they're, where are they? I don't know where they are. They're out doing something tonight. Well, they, no, you got to have them with you. You got to work with them. You got to be there. You got to be together. Yeah.
And then inspired and directed by the Lord. Again, it's not about what the parents want. It's not about what maybe what you want to study or you want to do. It's about what does the Lord want you to do. So we're just going to just talk for just a second, and we're going to have my brother James, he's going to step in here, but we're just going to try to paint a little bit of a picture of how we did this in our family, not because this will work for every family, but just to give you some ideas. One project is this webinar. Everything is coming to you from kids. So please be patient with us here. When you have a technical problem, there are kids answering your difficulties, getting everything going, the marketing, the logistics, everything. And so this was a project because we knew, okay, this is principles we want to get out there. So as a family, we all got together, worked on the material, and got it out to the public. The documentaries, if you've seen any of the documentaries by the Joseph Smith Foundation, those were our homeschool projects. That's what we did for school. Sometimes people ask us, well, how did you find time to do that? Well, because we had time during the day, because instead of studying what we wanted to study, we were working on these video projects. And the internet is such a powerful tool right now. You can learn so much if you feel like the Lord was wanting you to go into an area that's more technical. There is so many ways that you can learn how to do that without paying millions of dollars to go to film school or go to college. Do you want to talk a little bit about the?
So one of the web projects we do, we've done a lot of web projects, not only for the Joseph Smith Foundation and our own websites, but for external clients as well. One of those is American Heritage School and their distance education program. And so the Family School Online basically houses their entire curriculum and makes it available. Currently, there's thousands of people subscribed, paying and accessing that curriculum. And basically, it's empowering to be able to have that kind of expertise or that skill with web technologies to be able to do good in this world. I mean, if you can make videos, if you can, you know, make websites that are shown to thousands of people, what better way to get the message out than through the web?
And just as another quick example, kind of give you this perspective of trying to turn everything into practical. And honestly, I remember being younger, and sometimes it was a little frustrating because we'd tell my dad, oh, we want to study this, or this is going on. And my dad would be like, well, that's great, but how are you going to use that to do good? You're like, well, I mean, right? It's the Reformation. Like, come on, Dad. Like, can't we just read this book? And my dad would be like, well, if you're not going to do anything good with it, that just does, that seems like a real time waster. And that's so important. It was kind of frustrating growing up, but I'm so glad for the times that I listened. And I really regret the times that I didn't. And there were times of that. But as just another example, trying to make it practical, right now we're working on a project. We felt a greater need to become more self-sufficient, learn how to garden, learn how to really have hands-on skills, because we've spent most of our life in the 21st century tech world. So we need higher skills, because that's what the prophets talked about. So instead of just saying, okay, well, we'll go study that as a family, we thought, okay, how can we study this and teach others at the same time? And so we're working on a farm project that's going to be called Highland Cathedral, where everything we do, we're going to be planting lots of different perennials, growing plants in all four seasons, and making it a place where families can come and learn this along with us. They can come and see it in action. So that's just another idea. Again, these are ideas that we've gotten from the Lord of, okay, how can we make this practical? And the Lord, trust me, sometimes I hear people say, well, the Lord, you know, he might call you to do important things, and he might just call you to, you know, just do nothing. And the problem with that is that there's a really good quote, and I don't have it. I'm going to do this impromptu, but I believe it was Orson Hyden. He talked about how he said, when you feel the Spirit of the Lord, prompts you to go into the world and make a difference. In other words, if you feel like I just want to study this for myself, that's not the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, because the Spirit of the Lord is always going to inspire you to go out and do something to help outside your home. And the Lord, I promise you, if you get down on your knees and you pray, I know the Lord will answer you, and the Lord will tell you, this is what you can do. This is what you need to do. This is how you can make a difference. Leah is going to share something as well.
Yeah, I've been helping out a lot with the Highland Cathedral project, and it's been pretty amazing, because you can take all these skills with plants and how you grow them, and not only that, but working with tools and working with excavators and all these different skills that you can learn on that are physical. And not only are we just learning that for ourselves, but we're taking it out and we're going to prepare a place so we can teach other people, who then can teach other people, and it's going to be something big and not just, oh, this is your little kid's thing that you're doing. No, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for the Lord, and that's the whole purpose of what this project is about.
And think big. Don't be afraid to think big and think, you know, I mean, sometimes people say, oh, well, I couldn't do that. That's too big. It's okay. Think big. The Lord always thinks bigger than we do. And if you read, like with the prophets, he always shows them big visions. How can you make a big impact? We're not about mediocrity here. We're about making a big difference.
You know, when I was just looking here with James, and we had a comment, a question come in, just saying that one of the people was saying that they're working with people at homeschool, and they're saying, well, you can just, if you homeschool, then you can just forget about going to BYU, you know, or you can forget about higher education. I mean, honestly, so one of the things I would just mention quickly is when Hannah was 16, at that time we had the vision, okay, we're going to go on, she's going to get a PhD in these multiple languages and different things like that. That was our vision at the time. And at 16, she was ready to go ahead and take college courses. And she got straight A's in all the college courses. Do you want to mention anything about that? But just the vision is with homeschool is that you're not hampered at all. I mean, if you want to do things, you've learned how to discipline yourself. I mean, take James, you know, I was checking on some other things, so I'm not sure what he talked about with some of these software projects he's been doing, but he easily can make anywhere between $30 and $60 an hour on these software projects. And so if he wants, it's really easy right now. If it was the right thing, he could easily go and finance any kind of education himself if he wanted, or it's also easy to come in and take the ACT or take different courses or whatever you need to do to get where you want to be. I think that's really, really, really critical to understand. You need the vision of where you're trying to go, and then just work through the things that you need to do to get there.
I'd say one key element of that is a doubting that the Lord's way works. Yeah. Because if you think about it, if you turn your life over to him and say, Lord, tell me what to study. And he says, don't study this, study this. You are going to be prepared to do what you are supposed to do. The Lord is not going to say, don't study this area of science, study this area of science. And then 3 years later, ha ha, joke. You actually need the other thing. Now I'm going to sit back and watch you fail, right? The Lord is not going to do that. The Lord is, he's kind and he's merciful. We need to trust him, that trust that if I do exactly what the Lord wants, and I have a sure knowledge, make sure it's the Lord talking, not somebody else. That's really important. But if the Lord is talking and he's telling you what to do, and he's telling your children what to do, and you giving that direction for your children, it's going to work, and they're going to be prepared to take on everything they are supposed to do.
And we'll come back to this maybe a little bit later and talk about this more in depth.
Again, just that point of don't waste a second. 2 Nephi 9 talks about, he says, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. And then he says, hearken diligently unto me. In other words, if you weren't listening already, you need to listen. This is important. He says, remember the words which I have spoken. I think that's really key. A lot of times we think, oh yeah, don't waste our money. But what about our labor? What are we putting our efforts into? What are we putting our time into? That's really important.
So the Lord never, and I mean never, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, well, boy, when you use that word never, it's just such a hard word, you know, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. The Lord never does anything for no reason, okay? It's just the way he works. And we need to have that same understanding and that same motivation. We should never do anything, and we should teach our children, never do anything for no reason. It's so critical. And that's why you see Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, all the brethren, and we didn't put a lot of statements in here because it's a pretty easy concept. They all taught education must be practical. Education must be practical. There must be a reason why you're doing what you're doing, and it needs to be used. And I think we've beat that to death. So,
yeah, good. One last thing. So Brigham Young made a statement. He said, if I spend a minute that's not in some way devoted to building up the kingdom of God, promoting righteousness, I regret that minute, which had been other words spent. This proves to me that the Spirit of the Lord is with me. So again, just that concept of consecration.
And again, like we're saying, you know, again, people always have the questions about, am I going to be able to get into college? You know, and again, let me answer that. If you get a good grade on the ACT or any of those tests, you can get into any college you want, especially BYU. At least it used to be that way a few years ago. Or just start them on the distance courses. You don't need anything to do that, because all they want is your money. Honestly, they want your money. You pay your money and you're in, right? So that's kind of how that works. So the world is open right now for anything you want to do.
So one other key point in being able to motivate youth, but also to cast the vision, is you have to understand what the battle lines are, what's going on in the world. And because if our youth go into the world and they just think it's all sunshine and flowers and everyone's happy and just everything's wonderful, right? Why do anything, right? Why dedicate your, what can I dedicate my life to? On the other hand, I really believe in the hearts of most of our children, we really do have great youth, great as in truly noble youth. They want a cause to fight for. I have some youth that I know that they're on certain types of music. For example, okay, the example, some you can mention different kinds of fantasy or the Beatles or things like that. And they give their life to that. They dedicate everything they have. They're going to name their children after it. They're going to name everything they have is focused on that. Realize what that is. That's an Israelite.
This is not an idle thing. She's talking about this is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hannah teaches online. Anyway, she teaches classes, and people really, that is their motivation.
So I want you to recognize that's Israelite blood that wants to fight for something. And if whatever cause they have, they will dedicate their life to it. And so if, and they will give everything they have, they'll dress up as it, they'll speak the language, they'll do everything they can. And so what you got to do is, that's just a symbol of a child who hasn't been fired up with the cause. Give them the cause, show them what's going on in the world, and they can channel all of that energy. Don't crush that energy. That's good energy. Channel that energy into fighting for the truth. Okay. These are some of the battle lines, and you're going to see what's the Lord side and what's the Lucifer side. So key. One of the first things, if you're thinking about getting started on this, is just take each of these battle lines, try to walk through them and think, do I understand this? Do I know what these terms mean? Do I understand what the battle is over? On the Lord side, you have the patriarchal family. Satan, you've got feminism, you've got teenage rebellion, you've got autonomy. Do you understand what those words are? Do you understand where they come from? Do you understand what the Lord has taught versus what the adversary, and how they're different? Creationism, being children of God, versus Darwinism, the descent of man. Huge battle line, critical. Stewardship and consecration, Marxist socialism. This should be our home education. All of our children, I'd say by the time they're 15, 16, 17, they need to recognize most of these terms, our youth, and be able to explain, this is what's wrong, this is what's right, and this is where the battle line is.
And these are real battle lines. Your children, and we've talked about, a lot of people want their kids to be ready to go to BYU. And when they say, I want my kids to be ready to go to BYU, what they mean by that is get good enough grades, make sure they can get the ACT up, those kind of things to get into BYU. What they're not thinking about is being ready to be at BYU. Okay? BYU just had a poll recently, and Bernie Sanders, according to BYU, would be the next president. Overwhelmingly won. So how did it, you have things going on there. Do you, when your children go, do you want them to be socialist? Do you want them to be Marxist? Do you want them to believe in evolution? Do you want them to do these things? Well, you can prepare them skills wise, but you also need to be preparing them to understand the principles, the doctrines, the history. One of our good friends had all these curriculums and whatever on creation stuff, and then their son, when they got to BYU, they lasted half a semester and they were converted to evolution. How did that happen? Well, it's not just about talking about these things. It's got to be a passion. They need to know, they need to understand, and they need to know these things well.
So we've got music and dance versus rock and dance. You understand what the prophets have taught about that? That's about, again, all of these are battle lines that maybe you'll feel more directed to one more than the other. And you got to figure out where are you supposed to put your time, because every one of these needs a fighter. Every one of these needs a leader who can go out and make a difference. Courtship and virtue versus now on the, versus the 1900s, the sexual revolution. You've got leisure and balance, understanding true leisure, true balance, and then Lucifer's entertainment, partying, moral absolutes versus political correctness, complementing genders, gender equality.
I just want to say, you know, like at our church colleges right now, you know, I have a friend that teaches at one of our church colleges, and he's telling me a few years ago, we were talking about the serious problems, the serious immorality that's on our college campuses right now. And he said, James, you don't understand. It's so much worse than you think it is. And I said, I think I have a pretty good idea. I think it's almost universal. You know, I think I have a pretty good understanding of the problem we've got here. And he says, no, James, you do not understand how bad it's getting. Okay. So some of these things, what we're talking about, please be serious. You know, please prepare your youth, not just with grades, but with a background and understanding and some principles like courtship.
You have understanding of who children really are in the scriptures versus children as a burden. Parental rights, yeah, a huge one. Right now, just in the last couple of months, there was Norway took the children away from a family. We need people who are going to rise up and stop this. This is a serious threat. Parental rights is a huge battle line. Natural versus artificial, getting into health, getting into every kind of area, like so many areas, but scripturist and revelation versus secularism and rationalism.
The reason we're just talking about this is not to really discuss. Notice we're not really discussing any of these issues or debating them or anything. The reason we're bringing these up is because these subjects will motivate youth. If you want your kids, your children, to really be passionate about something, you know, one of the mistakes I believe we've been making for many years is we only read the positive parts of the scriptures, and then the negative parts are just, let's just leave that out, you know, somehow let's just not worry about that. We quote the positive. I mean, everywhere, just start bringing up how people use things in talks and whatever. It's always the positive, leave out the negative, let's not talk. Well, then what do we expect? Of course our youth are going to be apathetic. They don't even know there's a war going on. They don't know what the war is. They don't know what the problem is. They don't know the issues. They don't know the, you know, all the, and if they do know how bad things are out there, all they really know is the bad. They don't know the good. They need to be able to see both. And if they see both and they understand what the Lord has said through the years and how that's different than what the adversary is trying to do, they will be so motivated. You know, several years ago, these guys were working on a project, and I've mentioned this in the past, but I think it just made such an impression on my mind, you know, that I had to go in several times. They were so motivated on the project, I had to go in and turn off their alarm clock, because they wanted to get up too early. They wanted to work too hard, and I knew they wouldn't be able to keep going. I mean, that's when you know you're winning. Now, we've had moments when you have to do it the other way a little bit too, unfortunately. You know, I'm not saying everything's perfect here. I'm not saying, you know, we walk on water or anything, right? But the point is, those times when they're willing to lay down their lives, that's when you know things are getting through.
And really showing them both sides is so critical. So we have stewardship, dominion. Again, do our children even understand when you say dominion mandate? Do they understand what you're even talking about? Do they understand how that applies to them? Versus,
do they understand how it applies to environmentalism?
Yeah. And women and children first, that call versus survival of the fittest. Why are those even connected together? Do we understand that? True scholarship versus progressive education. They need to understand that battle line. The priesthood versus magical realism, witchcraft. Salvation exaltation versus free grace and unconditional love. These are all battle lines you could honestly devote the rest of your life to and just barely be getting started. But every we need to be focused on something. It's not so much about what specifically you're fighting for, but are you fighting for what the Lord wants you to, and are you fighting at all? I'm going to send a link to this YouTube video through the chat box. Just go ahead and watch it among yourselves, and then we'll be back. It's just a couple minutes, but then we'll be back.
James was just mentioning to me that there's several other comments and questions, so we'll try to get to those. I don't want to go too much longer here on the presentation, and then maybe we'll just start to field some questions after that. So we'll try to do that here in a few minutes, but I wanted to try also to get through some of these things.
Okay, so hopefully everyone was able to watch the video clip. Okay, we're gonna come and get started here. So the reason why we asked everyone to watch that clip is that's a clip from a movie called Mother Teresa in the Name of God's Poor. It's a really powerful film. So when we were growing up, my dad here would have us, we would watch that as a family. We would do that. Somebody asked a question about kind of vacations or date nights, or this is what we would do for our leisure time, if you will, is we'd watch this because it was really rejuvenating, because my dad would pause it and he'd say, okay, do you see how people are living in the world? They're not living how you see every day. They don't just go to the grocery store, pick what they want to eat whenever they want to eat. That's not how the rest of the world is. You need to realize that, and you got to do something about it. And then a lot of times he would say, okay, there's a lot of people that are dying physically out there, but there's even more, millions who are dying spiritually. And if you dare sit there and do nothing while this is going on, then you will pay the price for it. You cannot do that. You have to do something. And that's a powerful way to, because if our youth realize what's going on, if we realize, it's not just our youth, right? Those bad youth that need to get a move on. It's all of us. If all of us really stop to see, okay, what's going on in the world and I need to do something about it, then that is how we can go out and then make change in the world. Start studying and become knowledgeable about what's going on right now as we're sitting here. These are pictures that were...
this is going on right now. Yes. It's important to understand. This is not something from 30 years ago or 50 years ago. Right now, while we're sitting here talking, Christians are being persecuted, tortured in every way people can think of to torture them. And meanwhile, almost no one even knows about this. This is going on. We need to be talk to him about that maybe for a second about.
So these are some pictures of Christians being tortured in China. Real pictures of the stick that's in the man's hand in the left hand side. That's an electric baton. So he's shooting bolts of electricity into their body, torturing this lady here again. Electric baton again. These are real. This is going on right now as we're sitting here because people will not deny the name of Jesus Christ. They don't even have the restored gospel, but they will not deny the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to realize again, this is going on right now. What are we doing about it? These are just some books. I really feel every person needs to read these books. These are critical. Our children need to listen to them. Some parents have asked me, you know, is that a little, not because they're not overly graphic, but they are unsettling and there should be disturbing. Saying, okay, should our children really be doing that? Yes, our children need to be, think about the scriptures. The scriptures show the light and the darkness. Our children need to see this. But these books are good because they show it from the right perspective. They show the miracles. They show the faith.
And one of the things I really believe, one of the great inspired statements by the brethren recently was when they talked about how religious freedom is the cause of our time. This really is the cause. Every person, no matter what your motivation is in your family, you need to be motivated on this because this is coming and it's coming to us, but even more importantly, we're going to have a hard time. Like I've told these guys for years, we're going to have a really hard time praying for the Lord for help when the persecutions come here, when we've done nothing to help those that are being persecuted in other parts of the world.
Really critical. So the very best of these is The Heavenly Man, but you should read them all. And these are The Heavenly Man is the story of Brother Yoon. And it's his story. He was just in his teens when he was able to come across the Bible. It's an incredible story. You have to read it. And he talks, and then he dedicated his life to God. He just went on and really helped start the revival of Christianity in China because Christianity was completely destroyed. Mao went in, completely annihilated it. There were no Bibles. There were no Christians. If there were, they were very quiet about it. And now, today, there are millions upon millions. There's probably more good, solid, faithful Christians in China right now than there are in the United States. How did that happen? This is the story of how that happened. And
This book is, and when we're short on time and you can go, there's an audio book out there and the book is cheap. It's easy to get hold of. And that book is filled with miracles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've gone through that book 3.5 times. And I'm fairly busy, you know. And it's amazing. It's about somebody going through great persecutions in their life. But the entire time, I mean, other books, like when you, you read them and they're depressing. But this one, you're on fire. It's so exciting. And it's so powerful because he has so much faith. So when he's going through these experiences, it's exciting. It's energizing.
Yeah. And this is, and so if you're wondering, okay, what can we do, you know, when our family is tired or our family just needs something that's not, you know, brain intensive or physically intensive, this is something you can do. Turn on these audiobooks, listen to a chapter or two a night. and really developing the taste for that higher kind of leisure. And honestly, when you get to the point, when you start reading these books and you start trying to really sacrifice, you can't look back at your previous ways of entertainment. It's you can't do it. You say, how can I do that when this is going on? And right now is the time, like my dad said, we got to fight and we got to stand up now.
I mean, and it's not just these books. We probably should have had a slide here. You know, if you want to understand true love, and we've talked about this in our family quite a bit, study Jane Austen. You know, Jane Austen is one of the women that had her temple work done, that for all we know, according to the research, it's almost crystal clear that she came back and appeared in the St. George Temple with the founding fathers sometime during that time. It's very, very likely that that happened, if not absolute. She has a world to say about what true love is, right? We've gone through books as a family on all about Muslims, you know, probably at least 6 or 7, you know, together.
And the founding fathers and history, and do this for your leisure time. It's really powerful. So it's kind of important, because too often entertainment is more focused on just letting the brain turn off. It's just, and this is really
amuse, right?
Amuse. Yep.
Muse means to think or to ponder, and amuse means turn your brain off. And that's really what happened in the world, you know, in the last 100 years, is for our amusement, our entertainment, it's all about just turn your brain off and veg. And Joseph F. Smith, Brigham Young, several of the prophets, John Taylor, have talked about you should never do that. That is wrong. You need a change. It doesn't mean work all day outside shoveling and then come in and lift weights. You know, you need a change, you know. So do things that are intellectual, do things that are artistic, do things that are religious, do all these kinds of, have a variety, change up, but everything you do, everything, every minute of your day should be centered around doing something good, not just, you should never, you know, I believe you should never be able to 1 second of the day say, you should be able to be asked, why are you doing this? And you should have a reason, and a good reason.
So yeah, it's just very critical. Again, abortion is just another one. Child is murdered through abortion every 30 seconds. That's in the United States alone. You know how many times we think, oh, never again, right, with the Holocaust. If I was there, if I was one of those Germans and I saw that smoke going up in my backyard, I would have done something, right? Well, guess what? The smoke is going up every 30 seconds.
And just about the poll, do you remember the statistics? So the Pew Forum did a poll among Latter-day Saints. It almost makes you fume. Among Latter-day Saints, 86% said that polygamy was, what was the exact words? Do you
remember? Morally wrong.
Morally wrong. And far less than that, and I mean significantly less than that, was abortion. This is Latter-day Saints, Pew Forum. We can probably put this in the slides or in the notes or in a link or something. But I mean, what in the world? If we're talking about LDS people and the training we need to get, we need to understand what is morally wrong. Is it we got more people thinking of polygamy, which is a celestial principle, is wrong than we have abortion and several things, you know, and of course, same gender stuff and all that kind of stuff is almost getting positive.
Right. We need to realize that this is a battle, that it's real. And we need to realize this is true education. Our children need to be ready to go into this world and succeed. They need to not hermitize and just shut out close the blinds, shut the door, hide, or not go into the world and be discipled, or just completely be taken down by the world. They need to go out into the world and be able to stand and make a difference. Think about it. I'm sure you know you've had this experience, but you go to any kind of a event focused on a cause, very, very few children there. In fact, just recently, I was talking to a friend, and I was asking him, hey, why did you use a picture of myself and a bunch of friends at this event? And he said, well, he was like, we had to have some kids and you guys were the only kids there. I said, I was just making myself a think. I was thinking, okay, this is something that needs to change. And specifically, what can you do in that in your family? Instead of just saying, yeah, everybody needs to get their kids together. Whenever you go someplace, are your children there with you? If they're not, they need to be. Doesn't matter if they want to be. Doesn't matter if they've got to go play with their friends. It doesn't matter if their favorite TV show's on. They need to be there with you. So if you're involved in politics, your children need to be involved with you. If you're involved in education, they need to be there at the meetings. They need to be seeing what you're seeing so that they can eventually become engaged. We think this is an anomaly. This is a new way of thinking, but really we're the aberration of what has been pattern in scriptural societies and Christian societies for years and years. When Harvard was founded, 1636, so this is the Puritans understood how foundational education was, true education. And they talked about how they said, as soon as they got their government set up, as soon as they got homes and a place of worship, they said the next thing they were focused on was advancing learning, perpetuating it to their posterity. Now, does that mean we're involved in a love of learning, right? That's what they wanted to do. They wanted their children just to be able to embrace knowledge, right? Become so smart. No. The earliest statement of the educational aim of Harvard was, everyone shall consider the main end of his life and his studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. They understood this principle, and that's what they were focused on, and that's why they had the results that they had.
Appreciate everybody coming out. I don't want to keep people too long, otherwise people will start, you know, dying out on us here and there. And I want to have a little bit of time just to talk about some of the questions. So Hannah's here is going to talk about some of the questions here for a second that maybe people have asked. Why don't you read the question and then we'll talk about them.
Okay. So this is a question specifically for my dad. And send in your questions. And we just have a couple here. Send in more as you want them. So the question is, Brother Stoddard, did you learn these principles at home when you grew up? If not, how did you adopt them? To many LDS, this is all very new. We're enveloped in the culture of Babylon in so many ways, we have no idea how much we don't know.
Amen to that. So growing up, my parents, the thing that they gave me, you know, and my parents would be the first ones to say, you know, everything wasn't perfect. And I would be the first one to say in my family right now, everything's not perfect. We're trying to make it perfect, but there's no way we're anywhere close to that. But the thing that I really loved growing up that I got from growing up was, as I got where to look for answers. And it was a shock to me. I remember the first classes that I attended at BYU. It was so shocking because I remember being in an English class first and thinking, and I thought, well, they're talking about this and this and this, trying to convince us of this and this and this. As soon as I talked to them about what the brethren have said, what the prophets have taught, of course they're going to change their mind. And I was so shocked when I found out they didn't really care what the prophets or the scriptures said. And it was a surprise. I mean, when I got to biology and political science, and then it still shocks me when I think back to that, or when it happens today, that they don't really care what's been revealed in the scriptures or what's been revealed by prophets. Because in the home I grew up in, it was a deal where if the prophet says something or the scriptures say something, it's end of discussion. We're going to find out why the Lord is right. And that's been a great blessing in my life, that I've been able to take that and build upon that. So then I was able to go and read what has President Benson said, or what has the prophet Joseph Smith said, and believe it and build upon that and have a solid foundation, right? Revelation is the rock we're supposed to build upon. Whereas nowadays it's more everybody's, oh, I don't know if I could trust those scriptures, you know. I mean, they were pretty backwoods. And we're going to talk about that in another presentation, some of the ideas that are floating around out there. Okay, so we have another question. Can you share some common vocation? Or no, it was vacations. I thought it was, okay. I'm reading it from a ways away, and maybe I'm getting old. But So vacations. Let me just mention, in our family, and it probably didn't start out always this way perfectly, but the words that we kind of shun nowadays are what we call the F words. It's fun, fantasy, and food, right? So most people's lives revolve around fun, fantasy, and food. And so they think, boy, I've got to have this break because I've got to go enjoy fun, fantasy, and food. And if you can rise above that, if you can get to the point where life is not about fun, fantasy, and food, you can really accomplish something in life. And I think we talked about that with some of the books and what have you. I think we've covered pretty much what we needed to do.
Just the idea that if you open up the scriptures, all of these principles are in there. So many times, you know, you hear, and I fall in this to myself all the time. Okay, I need an answer to a problem. Okay, where's the answer? The 5-step answer. In fact, in the last 8 months, I've had a really pressing question on my mind, and the Lord's made me work for it really hard and really have to search through the scriptures, really study and really think it through in my mind, and then pray about it, and then think through it again, and be patient, wait. And the Lord, and so just because maybe you go away tonight and don't feel like, okay, I've got all the answers solved, work is done, you know, move forward, that's okay. Take these principles and really search for them in the scriptures, really study and really pray. Again, the Lord will tell you. He'll tell you in your mind. He'll tell you in your heart how to apply them, how to do it. And He will tell you what to do for your children. Every family has their children who struggle, right? Every family has their Laman and Lemuels. Every family has their Nephis, and every family has everything in between. That's okay. The Lord will tell you what to do. Don't be afraid to trust Him, and don't be afraid to apply these principles, because the world will tell you if you do this, you will drive them away. Don't be afraid. True principles create change. Lucifer wants you to believe that you need the fun and you need the food and you need the fantasy to draw children in, when really that's what's going to do them in. What they need is they need the Lord's way, because the Lord's way works. True principles work.
Yeah, and just in closing, you know, if you really, you have to love, your children have to know that you would lay down your life, and you do lay down your life every day for them. And if they know that, if they know you really care about them that much, then they will follow you in these most of the time.
Last question says, I'm hearing an increasing number of people who think it is a virtue to expose weaknesses of early brethren, specifically Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. In addition, some recent statements regarding polygamy and blacks in the priesthood have caused confusion. Are you able to comment? That's a really interesting question, especially since the principle that we didn't get to was going to direct that specifically. But what?
So these are really good questions. You know, another time we're going to come on here, and I think we should do this again, and we should talk about who Joseph Smith really is a little bit, and some of the research we're doing about who Joseph is. And we'll announce on the website when we would do that again. I think it's important. People need to know that there's many people in the church right now, and it's becoming almost a majority in some places, that really are down on Joseph Smith, and they're really down on Brigham Young, and they're really down on Ezra Taft Benson and John Taylor and others. And I don't even know what to say about that without really going into some of the details. I will just say this: there is very good reason for why the brethren have taught what they've taught through the years. And this is not a wandering ship. You know, we've been able to pinpoint the things that Brigham Young taught were taught by Joseph Smith, by the prophet Joseph Smith. And the things that the prophet Joseph Smith taught came from the Lord. And every person needs to gain a testimony of that. And we've got some scriptures in the Doctrine and Covenants that we'll maybe go over next time that we'll talk about specifically what the Lord has said. The Lord in the Revelation says, thou shalt give heed unto all His words and commandments, in reference to the prophet Joseph Smith. And the Lord has also said, this generation, meaning this dispensation, meaning us, as well as the people in the days of the prophet Joseph Smith, this generation shall have, or this generation shall have my word through you, meaning through the prophet Joseph Smith. And that's important. We're not going to move beyond the prophet Joseph Smith. The prophet Joseph Smith, he said he couldn't even begin to give us a hundredth part of the things that he knew. And we hardly have anything of what he actually taught, because not much of it got written down. It's kind of like the Lord. He came and he taught, and we kind of missed it. Most of what they taught, we didn't write down, and now we're wishing we had it, you know? But he taught probably thousands of times more than we have in text today. And that wasn't, and all of that put together wasn't even a hundredth part of what they knew. He was trying to, he had revelations all the time, and he wanted the people to understand that. And if people really believe that he didn't understand certain things, or this or that, or that the scriptures are wrong on certain things, they something, you know, they're going to have a shock one of these days.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. And if you have any questions, you can definitely find us, message us on Facebook or message us through the website. And we'd be happy to take any other additional questions. Also, whatever, if there was anything that came up that we can address, we'll probably do it. We're going to do a part two. And part two is going to go a lot deeper. We only got through the overview. This is kind of the introduction fluff for the next principles are pretty deep. So if you're interested in that, we'll be sending out additional information. And let me just do that really quick. So if you're not already aware of a lot of the resources on the Joseph Smith Foundation site, I'm just going to pull up one of the resources we have is called the Education FAQs. And this is a compilation of statements from the presidents of the church on education, on reaching the youth, on how to structure your home based on a more of closer to a celestial kingdom.
And they're principles. Incomplete. They're not complete. This is just, I mean, we do all these things in our free time, right?
But this is, well, this is our homeschool. And yes. So if you're feeling led in a specific area and like you want to study this out, or and you want to have your children do it with you, if this is a project you'd want to do for your homeschool, then, and you'd like it published online, then contact us, because we have a venue that we need to get these quotes out for other families.
Yeah, I mean, definitely if you find really good statements by the brethren that fit into these topics, and there's all kinds of topics, right? Hannah did at least 8 months of research on everything that's been said on science and LDS things, and we've got all kinds of different subjects that are really, I think, a good resource for families for education. Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the InspireWiki. It's a providential-based wiki. So instead of Wikipedia, which in case you didn't know, prides itself that it uses secondary sources and not primary sources, we're kind of the opposite. We pride ourselves on using primary sources, not secondary sources. And also it all being providentially based and focused on in line with what the prophets have taught and in line with scripture and supporting scripture as historically accurate. And not a bunch of myths and fables. So if this is a resource you can use for your home education, for your curriculum. Also, if you're doing research on a particular person and you have primary sources, you've compiled on them, send it to us so we can get it uploaded into the InspireWiki. ZionTube is another resource, free movies that we've found that you can watch. Not all of the videos are available for free. Sometimes if they're not available for free in their entirety, we just put the trailer so that then you can check it out additionally. And then I'm going to also just throw out one last thing. We started an organization last year called Guardians of an Altar, and we're trying to network older teens, college age, young men and young women. So if you have youth or you know of youth that are interested in the principles that we've been talking about tonight, who are interested in getting involved in those battle lines, who want to make a difference and want to, even if we don't agree,
meet people.
And want to meet people of like mind, and we don't have to agree on everything, that's definitely, we're okay. Just what we wanted to be able to do is have a place where people can meet and people can discuss and come to understand how to build a Zion society. And that's, if you're interested in that, it's guardiansofanaltar.org. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time, everyone. And we'll let you go now. Have a good night. Thanks.